All right. Brother David, would you lead us in prayer, please, brother?
Father, and Father, thank you for this evening as we gather together to study your word, dear Lord. Help us that we may learn something that will be meaningful and be with Jim as he teaches us. Thank you so much for the time we've had together. We ask you in his name.
Amen. Amen. Well, I'm Jim Phillips, and I teach Greek and Hebrew and church history and biblical backgrounds and biblical interpretation and things like that. I taught for 12 years in the seminary. I have a doctor of theology and a doctor of Bible languages. I had 6 years of the Hebrew in class in the seminary and 9 years of Greek in class. To have a doctorate of Bible languages, you have to write something major, like a translation or whatever, which I did the book of Revelation and the book of Genesis. And you have to have 6 years of Greek and 6 years of Hebrew. I had a little bit more than I needed, but I couldn't quit. I just loved languages and loved history. You can't study languages without studying history. It's as simple as that. You just have to study one with the other. All right. Now we're on 6 and verse number 8, Genesis 6 and 8. I brought some books today to show you. The Tanakh is the Hebrew Bible, Tanakh. All right, this is the Hebrew Bible. The Hebrew Bibles are written backwards. The front of the book is at the back of the book. Okay? And the Tanakh has an English translation. But you will find out as we have studied the especially in Hebrew, it is not a translation. It is an interpretation that we have. Translation and interpretation is different. All right? Translation and interpretation is different. And you'll see you have a parallel Hebrew and then English over there. I'm going to put this on camera so they can see what I'm talking about out there and the other side of the world. And that's the Jewish Publication Society, Tanakh. All right. I refer to a lot of books, but there's Driver, S.R. Driver. He wrote a book on tenses only, the Hebrew tenses, okay? Modern Hebrew is not like Biblical Hebrew. All right. My books are falling apart. Here's Essentials of Biblical Hebrew. And Essentials of Biblical Hebrew. This is Yesenius, all right? And here is Kyle M. Yates. Two different ones. These are the Hebrew grammars. I've studied all this, you know, in class and everything. I try to teach you Greek and Hebrew without killing you. We study the Bible and you learn Greek and Hebrew from studying the Scriptures. If you study it from these grammars, it kills you. That's a slow death. It's a terrible death. All right. So I try to make learning Greek and Hebrew less painless. We the modern translation, King James or whatever, they were heavily influenced by the Septuagint. This is a Greek translation of the Old Testament. It was done about 300 BC. Okay. The Greek translation was done by rabbis in Alexandria, Greek, and they translated the Hebrew Bible into Greek. But when they did that, they took all of their philosophy with them. They did not translate the Hebrew into Greek. They interpreted it into Greek. So they changed a lot of them. We're going to see one or two things tonight that were changed. Okay? And sometimes it's extremely important how they interpreted it. Here is a Gesenius Hebrew lexicon. All right? This is very good. Gesenius. This is Davidson's Hebrew lexicon, and it's an analytical Hebrew. There's a difference between a Hebrew lexicon. This is a Hebrew Chaldee lexicon. And this is an analytical Hebrew Chaldee lexicon. Analytical means that every word in the Hebrew Old Testament is in here. With all the endings, all the prefixes and suffixes, and tells you what part of speech it is. Okay? Now, you can't find that in this book. It doesn't have it. This is just a Hebrew Chaldee lexicon. This is an analytical lexicon. And in the Greek, when you have an analytical Greek lexicon, it has every word in the New Testament. And it tells you what kind of ending. In Greek, there are 8 cases in every noun. Nominative, genitive, optative, locative, instrumental, dative, accusative, and vocative. Okay? In English, we have subject and object, basically. Greek is extremely definite. Hebrew is not that as definite in that language, but it's masculine, feminine, neuter, and everything is like that. Okay? This is Brown, Driver, and Briggs, and it's falling apart. I've got to put a leather cover on it. This is one of the most common, and I reference this interlinear that you have is referenced with this book here. You can go look in the page number that I have written down here in this book and find the word. Okay? And this is a real good lexicon, but in all reality, so many times, Gesenius is even better than any of them. Okay? Now, I will give you the Greek translation, the Septuagint, how it was translated, but also many times I'll tell you they were wrong. And this is what it should have been translated. All right? And we got a kind of introduction into this class last week. Barashith Bara. What did I just say? In beginnings created. He created and finished. That's what it says. Barashith Bara. First two words in Genesis. Alright? Pounded it out. Formed it. Completely finished it. In beginnings. Now that word is plural. Barashith is plural. It's old Hebrew plural. But you will not see it translated that way in very few translations. It's not in beginning, but in one of the beginnings. Plural. Way back yonder in eternity past, in beginnings, Barashith Bara created Elohim. All right, Elohim. Now, this is probably maybe you've had some Hebrew. Have you had any Hebrew, either one of you at all?
I've been trying to teach myself for 10 years.
Okay. All right. Well, the alphabet and everything's all backwards, you know, from English. But the action in Hebrew is so much better than any translation. It's fantastic, the action of the Hebrew. In beginnings, created, finished, Elohim, et hashamayim ve'et haaretz. Okay? In beginnings, created Elohim. That's what we call the triune God, Elohim. It's a plural word. In Hebrew, it's singular, duel, and plural. One, two, or three or more. Okay? And Elohim is. That im on the end of it is what makes it plural. All right? That's Ben right there. What does Ben mean?
According to?
Son. Son. And what? You almost got it.
According to pattern.
According to a pattern. All right? Here's Elohim. All right? It's like this. All right? I didn't put the vowels in there. I don't ever play with the vowels very often. Just learn to see it. If you go to Israel today, you're going to have to read it without the vowels anyway. Okay? So just do it. All right?
Vowels.
Huh?
I need the vowels.
You need the vowels. Well, when you learn to see the words, then you don't need the vowels. What's that? All right. What's that? L. All right, L. All right, and this is Elohim, okay? And if you looked at the vowels, it'd be something like this, you know. Little vowels down below it. All right? 5 little dits. Anyway, Hebrew has some great things there. Like it says, in beginning, God created, finished. Finished, a finished product, Hashemayim, or it, the sign of the direct object. Page 84, if you want to look it up. That's what it looks like, right there. I even put the vowel on that one. All right, it.
Circle.
When you see that word in Hebrew, that means something's going to receive some action. All right? And what would it be in Greek?
Eis.
Okay, in Greek and in the Greek lexicon in the New Testament, that's on page 119. And this one is on page 84 in Brown, Driver, and Briggs, okay? You see these two words are a whole lot alike. In Greek, it means extension or limitation of thought or verbal action. It's a tremendous grammatical structure, okay? It can go forward or backwards. Acts 2.38 said, for you're baptized for the remission of sin. That's what King James says because that's what they believed. They believed that you were baptized to be saved. That's what the Church of England believed. But in Greek, it says you're baptized because of the remission of sins. Not for it, but because of it. Yes.
Is there a difference in the way you wrote Elohim up there than in here?
Oh, it's basically the same.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like a line instead of two dots?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, where was I? What did I go? Where did I go? Where did I stop? Oh, the sign of the direct object. Well, anyway, Acts 2.38, you're baptized for the remission of sins is what King James believed. They believed that. Okay? They were baptized to get saved. Okay? But in the Greek, it says you're baptized because you have received the remission of sins. Simple as that.
How could they believe that if the text they were...
Well, they didn't believe. King James, when he had that Bible translated, he said, do not translate anything contrary to the beliefs of the Church of England. Or I'll kill you. Now, I mean, that's pretty strong, okay?
Yeah, I do.
When it came out, the Baptists fought it so hard that they killed so many Baptists in England that they ran out of firewood to heat their homes. And they blamed it on the Baptists because they had to execute them because they were denouncing the King James Version of the Bible. All right. As we go on here now a little bit, we'll just tell you a little bit. In beginnings, God created the heavens and the earth. It was a finished product. You won't see this in your translations. Just a few of them, Bullinger, different ones. If you go to the Sacred Name Bible, you're going to see this. And then it says, Vi ha'aretz, ha-ha-ha-ya tohu vavuhu. Okay? And the earth, she became formless and void. She became. She wasn't was. She became. Something changed. There was a state. If you look in Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14, you'll find out what happened. Satan destroyed the original material creation of God.
That was Isaiah, what?
Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28. Okay? It became formless and void. And it says, darkness was over the faces, El Penetahom, over the faces of the deep. All right? And that's just some. Now, that's what the translation says, but that's not how it's interpreted. What happened between the translation... And even the Septuagint says the same thing. King James says, in beginning, or in the beginning. In Hebrew, it says, in beginnings. The Septuagint says, in arche, which is in beginning, which is incorrect. It should be in our case. All right? This has gone way back yonder. When God created a perfect heaven and earth, and then she became imperfect by destruction, and then God set her back in order again. Now, what had happened when the Jews had been in Babylon is they were introduced to the Babylonian idea of creation where God created a chaos and brought out of chaos, he'd bring order. He didn't create chaos, he created order, and it became chaos, and then he brought it back into order. All right? So when you study all these things, there's a lot there. All right? Did you hear anything like this before? Mm-hmm. Nothing. All
so,
right.
Yeah, in that beginning could have been millions of years.
That far back there in the eternity past when the earth was created and the heavens were created, we don't have any idea how long ago. Man was created 6,000 years ago. But that period of time, we don't know how long it was. All right? It's just in one of the beginnings, mm-hmm. plural. Now, John 1 and 1, I said, in John 1 and 1, kata iwana, hina hina, okay? One and one. It says in arche, ein hologos, in beginning, kept on being the Word. Now that word is ha-dabar in Hebrew. All right? which stands for the name of God, which is Jehovah. When John wrote the Gospel of John, all of his different, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, Revelation, he always refers to Jehovah as the Word. That is a Hebraism. It's not a Greek, it's a Hebraism. He brought the Hebrew idea over. Havabar was what the word substituted for Jehovah. After they received the law of God, Israel would not speak the name of God, which we say Jehovah, but we don't even know how to say it. So many people say Yahweh. If you really got down to it without the vowels, it would be Yah, a breath. That's what it means, which is breath is what? Life. All right, breath is life. Okay. Now we're going to read the Hebrew text. I didn't scare you plump to death, did I? I don't want to. I want to just tell you some. There's some things in here that are scary to death with all this. Not too much information. All right.
No, I was going to ask something different. Not exactly what we're talking about right now, but can we talk about the rib thing again? We saw the rib.
Oh, the rib?
Yeah, the, how you take it from the rib. That was really cool.
Well, yes. God created Adam not from a rib. He created Eve not from Adam's rib, but from Adam's sides, plural. The translators of the Septuagint didn't know what to put down there. And they didn't know what to put down there in the King James. So they said rib. Well, a rib is in your side, isn't it? But it says from his sides, plural, God took from Adam, or Ish. He took Isha. Ish is man. Isha is out of man. All right? So he took from Ish or Adam, he took of his sides, and he formed his sides into Isha, which means out of man. All right? Not a rib, but bone, blood, and flesh. All right? Bone, blood, and flesh. And he created woman. And by the way, it says that God hypnotized. It said he put him in a deep sleep. He hypnotized is what it says. He hypnotized him. And the word in the Septuagint is hypnos, where we get our word hypnotized. There's all kinds of these jewels in the original languages when you bring them out. It is just lost in translation. Now we're going to read Hebrew, and you all have an interlinear that I wrote. I have a 10,000-page interlinear of the Greek New Testament. It's 10,000 pages. Brett, you've seen it on the shelves. There, the church prints, I've taught Greek here for 14 years, and they print the different books that I'm doing at the time. Right now I'm doing the book of Galatians on Wednesday night at 6 o'clock in the same room. I've done the Gospel of John, the book of Revelation, 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Peter, James, Hebrews, the book of Jude. What other ones, Randy? Ephesians and Colossians. A bunch of books. But all of them I have done an interlinear one. If you want any of those, you can. I've got Galatians here right now. It's an interlinear just like this Hebrew is. Okay? Now, my students that I used to go to school with, from the very first week I ever went to seminary, I became the substitute teacher. I challenged a lot of the classes that I didn't have to take, so they put me all in advanced classes. And all of my teachers wanted me to be their substitutes when they were sick or gone or couldn't be there or something. And when I was teaching, we were doing the Gospel according to Mark, Kata Marcone. And I was being the teacher when Travis Hubbard was gone, Dr. Hubbard. And they'd say, "This is easy for you." Well, here I was, just this was my first year in the seminary, and I was in advanced Greek reading and research because I had taken a lot of it already. I challenged all the beginning of it. But I said, "Yeah, it's real easy for me." Like that. I said, I just fell into it. I said, "How many of you have taken one book in the New Testament and written it out in Greek and done a translation and write out all of the page numbers on the, in the lexicons and do all of that? How many of you have done that?" "Whoa!" I said, "Well, I've done the whole book." The whole New Testament. And I said, here it is. See? That was the Gospel according to Mark at that time. And whatever book we were studying, I did the same thing with. Now, when you do that, you're bound to learn something, aren't you? You're bound to learn all the mistakes that all those copyists made in the New Testament times and the Old Testament times. And now you have in front of you tonight, you have an interlinear from the book of Genesis, from Hebrew into English, and there is Greek in there and all kinds of stuff, and the page numbers. Now, you want to know why I know the page numbers? Because I wrote them all down. I used to have a real good memory, and I could see every page where it was and all of that stuff. I don't anymore. I've had a couple of strokes, so I'm a little bit handicapped from what I was. But when you write all this stuff down so much and you just do it over and over and over again, you do learn something. And as you sit in this class and as you study, Brother David, you've been wrestling with Hebrew for about how long now? Randall? Okay, you've been in the class since I started it. We're in the sixth chapter now. But you can recognize a word or two, can't you? And when I say something, when I was playing that audio there, the audio CD a while ago, some of you knew what I was talking about. Did you ever hear Hebrew like
that? It goes too fast.
Boy, it's slow. I'll tell you what, you'll learn what Hebrew. Now, that's modern Hebrew. That's not biblical Hebrew. Remember I told you, biblical Hebrew and modern Hebrew is different. The modern Hebrew do not know the tenses that's in the biblical Hebrew. It's very important. All right, so let's get started. We've been fooling around here for a long time. Now let's jump ahead. There's a lot of things that we've learned so far. You can go back and take all these classes online. You can go back and start with the first one in first class in Genesis. If you want them, I've got them on DVD. I've got on CD. The DVDs are $5 each. The CDs are $2 each. Or you can borrow these classes. And, of course, most of them are online. Okay, not the videos. So. Now turn to 6 and verse 8. 6 and verse 8. And we're going to start talking about a guy in the Bible, the tenth from Adam. Who was the tenth from Adam? Noah. Say that like you're clearing your throat. Noah. All right. Be Noah. Now, if you said that in biblical Hebrew, what would you say? Wa Noah. All right. The V and the Wa are different. All right. Matzah. Chen. Okay, say that with me. You will get used to doing this. Chen. Like Chen. All right. Be and Ne. All right. Hadabar. All right. That Hadabar is the word there for the name of God. Okay? This is it. This is what it looks like. I do not point it because it was not pointed. It is pointed in that translation there just for that. But we don't know how to say that word, period. We don't know how to say it. If you tried to pronounce it from the biblical standpoint, it would be just a breath, which would be power and breath. And what does it mean? It comes from a verb. What does it mean? What does this word Jehovah mean?
He who shall become.
That's right. That's what Jehovah means. He who shall become. Now, there are many Jehovah titles. Jesus fulfilled all of those Jehovah titles. All right? In the New Testament, what verse would you give me to show that Jesus fulfilled the name Jehovah? Kaihologos arxagenito. What did I just quote? John 1:14. Go read John 1:14 there now. Go to your Bible to John 1:14 because this is very important. We see this word here. We're going to look at it just a little bit. All right? Scope it out. John 1:14. That's in the New Testament, isn't it? All right, John 1:14. Our young lady, are you back there? What is your name again?
Donna.
Donna, could you read John 1:14 for me?
And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and the sign of glory. Glory is of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth.
All right. Kai hologos sarxaganato. And the word hologos, ha the bar, and the Jehovah. Substitute the name Jehovah there because that's exactly what he's talking about. And the Jehovah flesh he became. All right. It's aganato also. All right. Aganato. That's the word. That's what it looks like in Greek right there. Aganato. Greek looks a whole lot like English, so it's not so hard to learn. Okay? Even though it's a giant language. That's a G. And that's an N. Otherwise, it looks just like English. All right? Aganato. Third person singular. Second aorist, indicative middle voice. God brought himself out of eternity into space and time in the person of Jesus Christ. So he would be related to us as a kinsman redeemer. That's that word. Now let's go back and look at it. And Noah, vi Noah, and Noah found matzah. All right, matzah. He found chen, grace or favor. Bina, all right, in the eyes, or in eyes of Jehovah. All right. Now let's look at what it says that what the Septuagint would say. All right. Let's look at it. You see that? But Noah. All right. Right here, it's more of a it's a strong adversative. In English, it is day. That's a weak adversative conjunction. And the strong one is Allah. Day or Allah. Right here, you would have the idea of Allah. But Noah. It tells you about how terrible the human race was. The human race was just becoming a cesspool. All right? We saw in Genesis, the sixth chapter, the first part of it, that according to the rabbis and according to the book of Enoch, and from what it literally says in the text, that angelic beings, supernatural beings, were mating with women and bringing forth a gigantic race of giants. And he called these what? Nephilim. The fallen ones. All right, we see the Nephilim in the Old Testament period of time before the flood and after the flood. And David fought one of the Nephilim. What was his name?
Goliath.
And there were five at least. He picked up five stones. He's going to kill five of those giants. Big people. Giants. When Caleb and Joshua went into the promised land and looked out, spied out the promised land, they ran into giants, Nephilim. All right? And where did the Nephilim live, mainly? Around Hebron. And when Joshua said, let me have those giants, I'll whip the giants. All right? They said, we're grasshoppers in their size. They could stomp on us.
You think that's like some symbolism for today?
Do what?
Like, that's like kind of symbolic for even today, how we're like kind of scared to...
Well, Joshua and Caleb said, I'll do it. And of course, there were 10 of them that didn't want to go. And they couldn't go in the promised land, so all that whole generation had to die because they were not worthy of going into the promised land. Some of them tried to force their way into the promised land. Did you know that? And God had to let them get killed. All right? But Caleb took that mountain. Caleb took that mountain where those giants were when he was 80 years old when he went in there. All right? And Noah found grace. All right? It says in Greek, Eure Karin Enopion. Eure, he found. Heurisko. How about Eureka? The English word Eureka comes from the Greek word Heurisko. All right? He found Karin grace. Ephesians 2 and 8 says, for in grace ye are having been saved, in grace, submersed in grace, not by it, but in it. Submersed in grace, you're having been saved through faith, and that's not out of you either. All right, faith didn't come out of you, that came from God too. It said that Noah found Eure Karin Enopion. Let's look at that word Enopion for a minute. That means down in the very presence of, under the eyes of. But Noah found grace in the very face of, in the eyes of, in the sight of Jehovah. And the word translated this translated in the Septuagint is Kyrio tou Theou. Kyrio tou Theou. Kyrio. Kyrios. Kyrios. All right, Kyrios. Kyrios means Lord. You look in the Septuagint, when they came to the name Jehovah, they translated Kyrios. And what did they call Jesus in the New Testament? Kyrios. Jehovah. All right, they called him Kyrios. Tou Theou, Jehovah God. Jehovah God. Jehovah Elohim. Jehovah Roeh, the 10th chapter of the New Testament. The 10th chapter of the Gospel of John. What is that about? Jehovah Roeh. The Lord our Shepherd. Jehovah our Shepherd. Or Psalm 23. Jehovah is my Roeh. All right, my Shepherd. I shall not want. And Jesus says in the 10th chapter of John, He is Jehovah in the flesh. Boy, you can take these Jehovah Witnesses and just twist them up in the original language. And those Seventh-day Adventurists and all of them, okay? All of them. Jehovah is the covenant God of Israel. He who shall become. All right, now we got just a little bit. Let's look in... Now, what we are fighting here, what God was going to take care of from Genesis 6:4, 6:2 on to 6:7 is a tremendous warfare. God created angelic beings and spiritual beings, and He put them in the universe. Well, He created them, and then He created the universe, as far as I can tell, from Scripture, most theologians. He created these spiritual beings, and He created a material universe. All right? Now, there's a lot of stuff out there in the universe that we can't see. How many of you can pick up shortwave from your ears? You've got to have a receiver, don't you? But it's there. It doesn't mean it's not there because you just can't hear it. There's so many things. There's 98% of what is out there that we don't see. How many of you know that there's angels in this room right now and spirits? I can guarantee you there are. And they are just as real as those tables your books are sitting on. Okay? Is he a day? Is he a...
No, I feel like there's moles in here too. You know, the size mole.
The what?
The mole. It makes up everything.
Yeah. They're here. The real, the spirit world is just as real as the physical world. Now, why do we have so much trouble with things in the world today? It's because of the spirit world, the fallen spirit world. Some of those angels and spirits were so dangerous that God put them in the bottomless pit until He's going to turn them loose on the earth here during the tribulation period. He's going to turn them loose for a while. Okay? Turn them loose on the earth. Now, Ephesians 6. Go to the New Testament. Ephesians. By the way, the book of Ephesians is misnamed. Did you know that? How many of you knew it was misnamed? Anybody know that? All right, if you look in your Greek text or in your Bible, when you go to the book of Ephesians, you look over there in the column someplace and it'll say in Ephesus or in Ephesians was not in the original language. This was a circular general letter. This is what we call a general epistle. It was to all the churches. The church at Ephesus copied it and sent it out to all the churches and they called it the Ephesian letter later. Okay, but that is a general epistle to, or a universal epistle to all the churches. All right? Who's got 6 and... start with verse about 6 and 10. 6 and 10. Are you there, brother?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil.
That's the word, methos. Methods of the devil. All right.
For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers.
Now, those terms that are used there are terms for angel orders. The order of angels and spiritual beings. Okay? Go ahead.
Against the rulers of the darkness.
Skotia.
Of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places.
That's right. Where's the high places? In the heavens. We wrestle in this world, present tense, against the methods of Satan and of his spiritual forces. All right? Man is triune. We'll use a different color so I can write over this stuff without erasing it, okay? Got to have a better one than that. I don't know. This isn't working. There's three. Man is triune. God is triune. There aren't three gods. There's only one God, but he's triune. There's only one of you, but you're triune, okay? And the spirit world and the angelic world is triune also. Angels. We know we have at least three major groups of angels, all right? Gabriel, Michael, and Lucifer. And there were angels in both those, Lucifer's in the material realm, Michael in the spiritual realm, and Gabriel in what? The intellectual or the communication realm. Okay? Now, in these realms, angels you can see. Angels appear, you see them. They look like what?
Men.
Okay? Spirits desire to dwell in human or animal flesh. They don't have a body. They don't have form. They dwell in human or animal form. Okay? My mother's coming. Nicole, go ahead with your grandma. We have angels here, and we have spirits in here, in all of these forms. Some of you, this is just wearing you out because you've heard it a million times from me, okay? No, I know you haven't, but some of you have. Now, the angels, we see angels. Gabriel appeared to Mary. Gabriel appeared to Daniel in the Old Testament. Daniel told about, in the Old Testament, he told about being visited by Gabriel, and he also talked about Michael, and he talked about Lucifer. All right, so there we have the whole realm. All right, Michael, Gabriel, and Lucifer. In the book of Jude, it talks about them. Jude quotes Enoch, and Enoch talks about these orders of angels. Every book in the New Testament quotes Enoch, except they just don't quote him directly. The book of Jude quotes him directly. Okay? We see this spirit world and the Gadarene demoniac. The Gadarene demoniac had at least how many spirits in him? Demon spirits. Demons. Daimonia. I don't have anything that writes. Uh-huh. Daimonia. We got our word demon from that. We got our word daemon from that also. Demons. Demons. Demons are fallen spirits. Spirits that have rebelled against God. Spiritual realm. Okay? We have angels which have form and do things. You can see them. Whenever they appear, they look like humans. Okay? And shining clothes or whatever. Spirits dwell in human or animal flesh. They can speak through humans, do all kinds of things. All right? And even animals sometimes. While those Gadarene demoniac, those fallen spirits there, rebellious spirits, they asked to be sent into the body of swine. And Jesus allowed them to go into the body of swine. The swine decided they didn't want to live like that. They had better than most. I think that's why God doesn't want us eating pork. Because they get better sense than we do. Those pigs are smart. All right. And they jumped in the Sea of Galilee, which, according to the rabbinical order and philosophy, was the gateway to Tophet or Tartarus or the bottomless pit. Okay? So they went in there and they asked not to be thrown into the bottomless pit. It's not our time. Okay? Sheol. All right? And Hades. Sheol and Hades were basically the same. All right, now we're looking at a lot of things. We're going chasing a lot of rabbits here to just kind of catch you up on some things, okay? 6 and verse 9. Start up there in the next L.A. Tobidot. Noah. Noah. Ish. Tzadik. All right. Tamin. Hayah. Bitoratov. Et Elohim. Het Halek Noah. All right, now that we got that one behind us, all right. That's not. We've done two verses so far tonight. We've read them. Elay, these ones, Tovidot, the family histories. All right, the family histories are the generations. All right, and in Greek it would say Telios on a te gene auton. All right, and this is the whole marking out of the ones being in the generations of him. All right? The word generation there, our word generation, genea. The word Genesis comes from that. By the way, the book of Genesis that we're studying, what the name Genesis, where does that come from? Does that come from Greek, Hebrew? Does it come from Latin? What does it come from? It comes from Greek. Every book in the Old Testament is named from the Greek Septuagint, not the Hebrew. The book of Genesis is Bereshith. In Hebrew. In Greek, it's Genesis. And we go by the book of Genesis. And it means beginnings. Bereshith means beginnings. All right? By the way, I can prove this. In the Septuagint, they translated it incorrectly.
This Exodus is Shemot.
Huh? Yep. Or Hatayo in Lakota. That's it, Sioux Indians. Yeah, say I'm a Sioux Indian, see. NRK, a poison, Hothios Ton Urano. They did made a lot of major mistakes in just the first verse of the book of Genesis. All right? Put this on camera. All right? NRK, it should have been in our case. Not NRK, NRK is singular. It's like John 1:1. Genesis 1 and 1 is not the absolute beginning. John 1 and 1 is, because it's in our case. Okay? Now, these guys believed in the Babylonian idea of creation, so they're going to create the earth in chaos instead of order. All right? In our case, it should have been in our case, and it says, Epoason created Hothios, the god, the Urano. It should be Aranois. It's plural. Hashemayim is plural. It really means the uplifted waters, is what it means. Hashemayim, it should be Tois Uranois Kai Tain Gay. They got that right. Kai and the earth. The earth is singular. Et Haaretz. All right. And these are the generations of Noah. What does Noah mean?
Peace and safety.
Peace and safety. All right. You look at the first 10 names. Now, we already studied this. And I have a... If you go to the website and you go to the first 10 inspired names in the Bible, there is a what do you call it, PDF file? Randall? That is my webmaster, by the way. That's Randall. He's the genius on the computer business. There's a PDF file on there that will give you those names written out and what they mean and what page to look them up in. Brown, Driver, and Briggs, and sometimes even Gesenius, I think, if I remember right. You look at that, and you'll find out the first 10 inspired names talked about the whole coming of the Messiah from eternity to eternity. The first 10 names in the Bible, in Hebrew, tells this whole story. Adam.
The blood.
Adam. 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 All right. There's Adam. All right. Ha-Adam is the Adam, the mankind, the human race. Okay. The word right here in the middle of that is red. And it also means blood. God, now this is another thing from the original language. It just blows you away. It's totally different than the translations. And God said He created man in His shadow-casting likeness. Shadow-casting likeness. His blood-flowing likeness and His spiritual image. His triune image. Man is body, spirit, and soul, corresponding to the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. There aren't three gods, and there aren't three of you. There's only one of you. But we are triune. Okay? The only part they're ever going to see of you is the form. The only part we're ever going to see of God is the Son. That's Jehovah. All right? God created us in His pre-incarnate image, which was Jehovah. He created us in the image of Jehovah. All right? He formed Him, not from dirt, not from dust. There's another thing. King James said, from the dust of the ground, a mud doll. That's not what He did. He created Him as He created the dust of the ground. To become dust. Because He knew that He was going to sin and that He would die and His body would disintegrate and go to the ground. All right? Now, the earth and mankind are very closely related because they come from the same substance which is God. Everything in the universe comes from God. Okay? Man, Elohim, comes from God. All right? He created man as He created the dust of the ground to become dust. So we're related to the dust because we're created from the same origin. But man is not a secondary creation. He's a primary creation. Zip. There's another one. Bam. Man was not created from something else. He came right straight from the source of God. The earth came from God. God didn't take dirt and make man. If you make something out of something else, that's a secondary creation. That table is a secondary creation. At one time, that was oil in the ground, that plastic there, and that steel was ore and all of that. But that's a table now, but it came from something else. Man is right straight from the person and the hand of God. Not secondary, but primary creation. All right? Now, woman. Now, man was created in perfection, wasn't he? Where did woman come from? Isha is the Hebrew word.
So, are you saying woman is a secondary creation?
We haven't got there yet. This is beautiful, though. All of this is God's rhyme and His reason is perfection. Totelios. All right. It's perfection. Man is right straight from the person of God, right straight from the same elements as He created the dirt, but not from the dirt. All right. To become dirt because He would die. All right. And His body would go to the ground. All right. And then woman is created from what? The sides of Adam. So woman is a secondary creation of God. That doesn't make her less.
Doesn't make her what?
Doesn't make her less.
Okay.
Now, as in Adam, all die. Every human being that's born into this earth world has the blood of Adam in it. Mm-hmm. The blood comes from the man, not the woman. Comes from the man, not the woman. Okay? And if a woman could have a child without this blood of Adam in it, that child would be perfect like Adam was in the original creation. Okay? The woman does not pass the sin nature on to the child. She only passes form and humanity. Adam passes on the sin nature and the blood, and in the blood is life. Isn't that what the Bible says? In blood is life. But also in the blood is a sentence, the infection of death and sin. So when Jesus was born, since God was His Father, He was without the blood of human man. In perfection. Not the sentence of death in Him. And He was our Savior without sin. But yet related to the human race through the woman. The woman was taken out of man before he sinned. Mankind received the penalty of death in him, man. And we hand life to our children and we hand the sentence of death to them also. Okay? Let's go on here a little bit further. And the generations, the family histories of Noah. Peace and safety, that's what he named the tenth man from Adam. And Noah, Ish, man. Now, Ish in Hebrew has a sexual connotation. It talks about a man, a male person, a male, okay? All right, and if you look on all these, like Noah is on page 629, Ish is on page 35, and then it says Tzadik, 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 all right? Noah, man, what's it say there in King James? Something like that. King James. What's King James says in Genesis 6 and 9? Bereshith 6 and 9. All right? Genesis 6 and 9. Anybody have that real fast? Young lady, do you have it? No? Okay. All right. Any translation? Any translation? Doesn't have to be. You got it? Okay.
These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man.
All right. There's the word we're looking at. Tzadik.
And perfect. His generation.
Tamin.
And Noah walked with God.
All right. He was a tzadik. That's the Hebrew word. There is a name in Hebrew, Melchizedek. What does Melchizedek mean? Who was Melchizedek? What does it mean? What is his name? He was a priest of God. He was over the city of Jerusalem, which was Jebus at that time. The Jebusites. Okay?
It's really important, I know that.
Huh? Melchizedek. It means prince or angel of righteousness, straightness, narrowness, completeness, integrity. All right. Let's look at this now. Now, the Greek translation in the Septuagint is dikaios. Dikaios sune, it means righteousness. Okay, dikaios, he was just or righteous. Okay. But it means more than that. It has a narrowness, this word. The Greek should have been translated stenos. Stenos. Which means narrow. He was narrow in his generations. Remember, why did God, according to what we've studied so far, why did he destroy this generation, these people over here? Noah had a bunch of brothers and sisters, didn't he? He had a gob of them. How come they didn't get on the ark?
Because they all got killed.
Yeah. He had a bunch of brothers and sisters. We have 10 generations. This is the 10th man from Adam. All of these people, except for Enoch, was translated and he was raptured, so to speak. And by two or three witnesses, let everything be established. There are two people that got translated in the Bible. Who are they? Enoch and Elijah. All right? Enoch and Elijah. All right. So here we have this word here. Ele, Tovedot, Noah, Noah, Ish, Tzadik. All right. This word means righteous, all right, but it means complete. It means complete. It means narrow. Complete and narrow. He wasn't infected with this these otherworldly creatures, was he? His generation. None of his children were infected with them or anything. All right? These Nephilim. Unpolluted. Unpolluted. His generations were unpolluted. Okay? And Tamim. Tamim. It's Teles. Blameless, perfect, full, complete. Telios. All right? Tamim. At page 1071, if you want to look that one up, it means sound, under undefiled integrity. And then he became. Look at that word. There's the word for Jehovah right there. There's the root for it right there. He became. Third person masculine singular. Cal perfect. He had become. Noah had become perfect, unpolluted. Okay? he had become. Evidently, he was saved man, too, wasn't he? He was born again. Back in the Old Testament, they were born again. All right? Just like they are in the New Testament, born again. Let's look at that again. Man's triune. He's body, spirit, and soul. When we're born into this world, we have the spirit of rebellion in us, don't we? That leads us astray. That's what makes us sin. And it comes through the blood. Okay? Through the blood of Adam. That blood of Adam is in us, and the spirit of rebellion. That spirit. It says God, when He formed Adam as the dust of the ground, He breathed into him the breathings of lives. Isn't that beautiful? The breathings of lives. Nefesh. The breathings of Lefesh. Ruach Nefesh. The breathing. Your soul was breathed into Adam when God breathed into him. And you know what He probably breathed into him? Where is the life? In the blood. So He breathed into him blood, and this blood came from God. He breathed into him the bloods. Bloods, plural. And He breathed into him the breathings of lives. So we were all in Adam when God created him. It's in Hebrew, it is a gigantic language in the action. He breathed in him the breathings of lives. Okay? Now, when a man is born in this world, he has a spirit of rebellion, he has a body, and he has a soul. Now, this soul is eternal. From the time that you're conceived, you are eternal. You are never going to cease and go out of existence. From that time on, you're going to go either you're going to go to hell or to heaven in eternity. Okay? But in space and time, now, sometime during your life, unless you're mentally incapable of making any decisions, I believe the blood of Jesus Christ covers them. Okay? But if you can come to the age of accountability, you have to make a choice. And when you are saved, the Spirit of God dwells in you. In the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Soteriology is the same in the Old as it is in the New. When they were saved in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God replaced, X'd out, the spirit of rebellion. Zip, out, and Spirit God dwelled in them. That's what branded them, marked them for the resurrection of the just. So he became, somewhere or another, Noah became saved. And he had the Spirit of God dwelling in him. Okay? The other spirit is the one that marks you for this resurrection over here. Alright, if that spirit stays in you, you go here when you die. When you're born again, born from above, the first time you're born of Adam. Alright? When you're born into this world, you're born of a woman and a man. And you're born cursed. And you're born with a spirit of rebellion in you. But when you've been born again, that spirit is taken out of you and a new spirit is in you. The Spirit of God that marks you for the resurrection. Okay?
It's just that I have difficulty with this thing of they could be born again in the Old Testament because I never heard that
before. Oh, no. You know, this is soteriology. But when you start studying Hebrew, you're going to see it all over the place. Mm-hmm. It's just there. Okay? It's there. Okay? This was all a promise here. This was a promise. Mm-hmm. In the Old Testament, until the cross in space and time, John 1:14, until Jehovah became flesh and died on the cross of Calvary, this redemption was not completed, but they still were indwelt by the Spirit of God, marking them, promising them the resurrection. But in space and time, how long did Jesus stand as a lamb slaughtered? How long did he stand? From way before the creation of the heavens and the earth. So he tasted the cross, the death on the cross, before he ever created anything. He could taste and experience the cross for all eternity. I want you to understand that. That's what makes the cross so important. He experienced the cross before he ever created man. That's how he would redeem him back. But in space and time, he died on the cross of Calvary, and it says he went down and preached in Sheol, the place of departed spirits, and told them that he had overcome. And evidently he raised some or all of them with him when he was resurrected. And the he died for our sins, was raised for our justifications, and because of his resurrection, we have promise of the resurrection. Yes.
If the soul is eternal, if it's without time, why wouldn't it go back to the beginning also?
No, it's not eternal like God. It's eternal from the point of conception. In other words, it doesn't cease to exist. God is the only eternal being there is. Okay? But angels are supernatural, are eternal. They're never going to cease to exist from the time they were created. Okay? And man is eternal from the time he is conceived. Eve in Genesis 4 and 1. Go to Genesis 4 and 1. Now, this is something that's very beautiful, too. Genesis 4 and 1. Okay? Brandy, I'm sorry I'm boring you with all these old facts, but I'm trying to bring these guys up to snuff here. All right. Genesis 4 and 1. Let's look and see what it says there and look and see what it says. Young lady, are you over there?
Yes.
Can you start reading? I'll stop you a little bit.
Okay, now the man had relations with his wife Eve, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain, and she said, I have gotten a man child with the help of the Lord.
Okay, now what it says, now what is the name Cain? Cain. What does that mean? Gotten. Gotten. Cotton. Cain means gotten. And what she thought is she had gotten the Messiah, because he had promised her in Genesis 3:15 that from her womb would come the Messiah. Jehovah. All right, that's what the promise was. That's the first promise of the Messiah. And to start over there again now, could you read just a little bit there?
Again, she gave birth to his brother Abel.
No, go back to the same verse.
Oh.
4:1.
Had relations with his wife.
Yeah, he had sexual relations with his wife, and she conceived. She caught it, is what it says. And she conceived, and she birthed. Okay.
And she gave birth to Cain.
Cain, gotten. And she said what?
I have gotten a man child with the help of the Lord.
All right. What it says in Hebrew, he said, I have gotten a man. I have created a man. Et, sign of the direct object, what does that mean? And then the word right there. Oh, that's worthless. This word right here, and that word is what? I have gotten Jehovah. The Messiah is born.
That's fascinating to me, but I'm not sure that I understand it. But I don't want you to take up class time, but maybe if you could show me something on your website. So these references in here to Jesus, there are places that
yeah.
Really
well, Jehovah, that's word Jehovah right there. If you go back to Genesis 4 and 1 in your interlinear,
which word is
it? At Jehovah. It says at Jehovah. She said, I've gotten a man, Jehovah. I've gotten a man, even Jehovah, or et Jehovah. The Messiah was born. Et Jehovah. I've gotten Jehovah. They thought the Messiah was born. But their sin, they saw the fruition and the full fruit of their sin in this child they thought was Messiah, because this Messiah was a murderer also. He was a murderer. He killed their other child. All right? They killed Abel. All right.
But
he killed Abel.
They thought it was that.
They thought he was a Messiah.
That's
right. They thought the Messiah was born because they promised it. Now let's go on this word here. Tamin. And became. Bidorotov. Bidorotov. He became among his contemporaries, time or age or season, et Elohim. All right. He became et ha Elohim hit ha hit halek Noah. It said and he was blameless, perfect, complete, undefiled, with integrity. Among his in his age or time or integrity, his contemporaries, And he walked, basically, with God. He walked with God, et Elohim. He walked with God, Noah. All right? Now, this is what Noah did. He walked for himself, by the way. Third person masculine scene there. Hith fail perfect. Page 229. He walked with God. Hit Halek. Noah. 6 and verse 10. 6 and 10. Here we have the beginning of humanity, as we will know it today after the flood. Violet. Can you say that? Violet. Noah. Shilosha. Vanim. Et. Shem. Et. Cham. Et. The Et. Yafet. All right. Now this is the human race. All of the humans on the earth died except for this right here. These are the only one, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. This is the seed corn of humanity today. This is the generation. And begat, calls to bring forth, third person masculine singular, wow, consecutive, imperfect. He kept on having these children. There were at least three of them, okay? All right. Noah. Noah means what? Peace and safety. Three, Shilosha. Shilosha is three. Banim. Banim is sons. Ben. This word right here, Ben, that means according to a pattern. He had all his children according to his and his wife's pattern. See that? A man, when you have a child, you have a wife and you have children according to the pattern of you and her. You will see you and your wife in the children, won't you? Because it's according to those patterns. According to those patterns. Long time ago, there's my mother back there sitting there, that's her. Long time ago, there was a guy by the name of Sam Paul. He was Rooster Cogburn in the movie True Grit and Rooster Cogburn. That was my mother's grandfather. He was an Indian marshal in Indian Territory. And he had different children. And we come down the line. And my great-great-grandmother hid my great-grandmother from her father, which was Sam Paul. He was in prison, Parker. He killed 17 men in Indian Territory. And every time he killed a white outlaw, a white outlaw, he got in trouble. Parker would try to hang him. And then when old John Wayne was on the witness stand there in Fort Smith, Arkansas, and they were questioning him and asking him how many people he killed and why did you have to kill all these people? Aren't you a little violent on the criminals? The words coming out of his mouth was Sam Paul's words. Okay? Well, anyway, he was in prison and my grandmother had my great-great-grandmother had my great-grandmother. That's her grandmother. And she looked just like her father. Just, I got a picture of her and him, and they looked just alike. He never knew that she was his daughter. She gave her to her sister to raise. I was out at a family reunion yesterday, and I took a picture of Sarah and her sister. Sarah was my great-grandmother, Sarah Jane Lambert, and she had a sister named Juliana Lambert. And I asked my cousin Patty, I said, which one do you think of these is your great-grandmother? And she said, that one. And she pointed to Sarah. Because she had her aunt, was it Elizabeth, her aunt? Elizabeth? Was that Patty's aunt? Elizabeth looked just like her. Just like her. You can see this. According to the pattern. And my cousins came out here from Oklahoma. Paul's Valley, Oklahoma was named after my family. They came out here because they wanted to see me because I am the only living person that heard these stories of all these outlaws and gunfights and everything firsthand because I listened to my grandmother. I was with her all the time. And she told me the stories because I listened to her. And they came out here and they looked at my daughter over there. And if you look at the book Shadow of an Indian Star, right on the front cover, you'll see a picture of Dakota on it. Looks just like her. That's Sam Paul's sister, Sippy. They came out here and they looked at me and he said, "Boy, you're a Paul, all right." Just like that. He said, "I can tell by those Oriental eyes. You know, our eyes are Indian, they're Oriental, slanted eyes." And everything, the way I've moved and talked and everything else, he said, "Oh, this is so unbelievable. It's according to a pattern. Strong genetic strength, strong genetic background, but we were double cousins to all of these people. I have a cousin that looks just like me. He was Senator of Oklahoma, Homer Paul. They took a picture of me to the library, to the museum back there, and they said, 'Where'd you get that picture of Homer?' That's not Homer. That's our cousin in California. Looked just like him according to a pattern." All right? According to a pattern. "And begat Noah 3, Shilosha, Vanim, sons, according to a pattern, et Shem." All right? What does Shem mean? What's Shem mean? Anybody know? Name or monument or pillar. Guess who is the Messiah going to come through? Shem. Name, monument, pillar. Okay? Shem. It means name, monument, pillar. Shem. Et Cham. All right? Cham is where you get our word ham from it. All right? And that means dark or swarthy. Okay? The darker races. Okay, that's where they come from. By the way, I've said this last week and a million times before, everything that was ever invented was invented by the Hamite races. Did you know that? It was perfected by the Japhethites, and the Shemites made money on it. If you want to read a real good history of the races of mankind, read the Doorway Papers by Arthur Constance, Noah's three sons. And he'll tell you all about the creation of all of the musical instruments, music, gunpowder.
Now, some of these were created by the Nephilim.
Well, some... Thanks. Yeah, but the Nephilim had great influence, but this is before the flood. Okay? We're talking about this. These are the ones that are going to populate humanity on this side of the flood. Okay? All right?
What did you say the name of that book is? The
Doorway Papers is called Noah's Three Sons by Arthur Custance. And that will just blow you away, the history. Yeah. Ham. Shem was name or monument, brand mark. Ham is dark, swarthy. Viet, and Viet means and. Et, by the way, is a sign of direct octave. There really isn't any translation of it. It just means the action's going this way. All right. And ace is the Greek equivalent. You can look that one up on page 84. Yafet. It means large, enlarging, expanding, spreading, broad, widely extended, to be open, and genius in mind, intelligence, open to instruction, spacious, wide. All right, that's what the word Japhet means. Right? The Japhethites. So we have the Shemites, we have the Hamites, and we have the Japhethites, the three bases of the human world today. So here we have the generations of all the human race today. Right here is where they came from. And the Hamites invented almost everything that was ever invented. The Japhethites improved it and perfected it, and the Shemites made money on it. That's just the way, that's the way it was. That's just the way it was. Okay. All right. Have you had enough for tonight, or you want a little more?
Right.
A little more. That's what I figured. All right. 6 and verse 11. Let's look at that. The last time I taught this was 1977, by the way, as you can see there.
Yeah,
1129. Yeah, 1129, 1970. All right. V'tishachet. Can you say that? V'tishachet. Haaretz. All right. Lifne. Ha Elohim. Vatim Mail. All right. Haaretz. Chamas. Let's look at this now. And became. All right? And became corrupted, decayed, ruined. From the top to the bottom, by the way, religiously, politically, and spiritually corrupted. All right? Bat-ti-sha-chet. And she became, it's third person feminist singular, Niphel, a wow, consecutive, and perfect. All right? And she became corrupted. Ha-ar, it's the earth. The earth was contaminated. Now, when you take, how many of you ever made bread? All right, you made bread. What do you put in bread to make it rise?
Yeast.
Okay, so you take yeast and you put it in bread to make it rise. Now, what happens if you don't bake the bread? It smells real good at first. You smell the yeast and everything. That bread smells good. How many of you go on by a bakery? I remember when the Pyrenees Bakery, I used to work in that restaurant right next door to the Pyrenees Bakery down there, downtown, old off of Baker Street, and the Universal Hotel. I was over there with my step-grandfather cooking in that restaurant there, and I loved to smell that bakery, that bread breaking, but what you smell basically is the yeast. It smells so good. But if you leave it alone that way, it's going to rot. You have to put it in the oven to kill the yeast and to stop it from rising. The earth had become corrupted with what? With sin and rebellion. Of these angelic forces, the sons of God, and the rebellious humanity, lost humanity. The earth was filled up with it, ruined from the top to the bottom. Ha'aretz, the earth. All right? Ha'aretz. The word ha on the front of it is the. If it's aretz, it's earth. Ha'aretz is the earth. Okay? Lifne, that comes from pene. All right? Pene means what? Means face. Or nostrils, right in your view. Enopion in Greek, right in front of you, right in your presence, right in the face. Before, down in the face of, down in the side of, right in the nostrils. Ha Elohim, the God, the Creator. Vat Timale, all right? And became filled up. Third person feminine, and she became filled up. All right, third person feminine, singular, Niphel, wow, consecutive, and perfect. From Melee, page 569 and 70 in Brown, Driver, and Briggs, okay? She became filled up the earth. Shamish. With violence and wickedness. The earth was filled with violence and wickedness and lawlessness. Violence, corruption. Shamish, page 329. My great-grandfather, Sam Paul, arrested an old boy named John Farrell one time. John Farrell came out of Texas. He had murdered a man in Texas and came into Indian Territory. By the way, Judge Parker tried to hang him over this dude. He was white. And he came into Indian Territory. And he liked to drink, and Sam was the bootlegger for all. He was the deputy over all the deputies in Indian Territory, but he was the marshal over all the deputies. But he went out looking for him, and he arrested him. And he was looking for him in the bootlegging places because he liked to drink. And the marshal out of Texas told him, watch over him, watch this guy, he's dangerous. He's tall. He's got a big old hat on, chaps. He's a cowboy, kind of tall and slimmer with a handlebar mustache. He said, you better watch him because he's dangerous. He said, well, I'll go find him. And he said, I'll call you when I get him. So Sam went looking for him for days and going out there. And he went finally. The last place he went was this old gal named Briley. Fanny Briley was her name. He had lived with her for a while. She got pregnant and he paid a guy $1,000 to marry her. And he didn't want to go there, so he went there last. He didn't find him any place else. He goes up there and he asks him, he said, is this guy to this description, you know, he's tall with a big hat on, handlebar mustache, has he been here? And they said, no, not yet. About that time, somebody rides up out there in the yard on a horse, and there's a bell hanging on a tree out there. And he rings that bell, and that's the code for I want whiskey. So Sam walked out there, and he looks at him, and boy, it looks like him all right. He comes up there and orders the whiskey, and Sam's back there, and